sun is shining bright. My heart is filled with gladness. You're above the cares of life. But I've just come through the valley of trouble, fear, and pain. It was there I came to know my God enough to stand and say,
even in the valley, God is good. Even in
this road of life has led you to a valley of defeat. You wonder if the Father has heard your desperate plea. There is hope in the broken place where tears of sorrow dwell. Can't you hear him gently whispering, I'm here in all his love.
And I got to tell you some things, folks. I'm one of these people here. I have the joy that when I start speaking about things, God brings those things and brings the reality of those things closer to my heart and into my life. And when he brings those things closer to my heart and in my life, I have to deal with them. And it lets me know, God says, don't preach anything you're not ready to live. Don't require anything of anybody that you're not prepared to go through yourself. Amen. And if you're not prepared to go through the valleys, then don't try to con or convince anybody else about how good God is in the valleys. Amen. And if you're not ready to go through the storms, don't tell people how to go through the storms. Because God's going to put your testimony, put your trials to the test to find out where you're going. I was mentioning some things last night about some of the challenges with my son and with my family. And this morning, I was embraced with a brand new, never-before-experienced challenge with my family. I was mentioning before about some challenges that I had in other areas, and God brought these challenges to a reality even today. And so I know what it's like to go through the challenges and go through these things. And I'm still here to tell you, as I even had to tell my son, God is still good. And he allowed me to go through these things. Remember I mentioned before, all things work together for good. It doesn't mean all things that are working together are good. Amen? Sometimes God allows some bad to bring us to where we need to be. Again, I want to encourage, she doesn't compete with me. She's got a good, strong amen. And y'all didn't hear her amen. It sounds like, oh, up, but that's actually amen. And when she forms it, she's going to be a good, loud supporter of preaching. Amen. And so as we go through some things, and by the way, I had some fellowship last night and hear about others who also go through trials and have testimonies to where the storms happen. So let's go ahead and stand together. Let's read through some things here. And I'm going to do my best, my very best to go through these things. Amen. There's a lot to go through. I'm sorry the weather came. I can tell you this, though. Over there in the pastor's parking lot area, parking space area, and the one next to it, when the water comes, it leaves the rest of the parking lot area, and it pools right there. How do you know that, preacher? Because I stepped out the car and stepped right in. I went from dry foot to wet sock. Amen. Because not only does it pool, it pools deep. Amen. And then I figured I was just going to walk through it. Amen. And get out the car and walk through it. And as I started going through there, it got deeper. And I thought, you know, Lord, I have not learned how to walk on water yet. Amen. So I took the scenic route, went through the gravel, came up on the other side of the car to get in. Amen. And so I'm glad to be here. Amen. And I'm sure others are going to, they couldn't get through some of the flooded streets because y'all flash flood here. Amen. Everything could be all right. And then all of a sudden, the whole street is overwhelmed. Amen. And so I know those things happen, and look forward to just telling folks, you know, you should have been there. And this is one of those times they say, hey, well, I'll just get the tape. Oh, no, you won't. Pastor said he ain't going to give it to you. Amen. He said you should have been there. This is one tape. This is one CD, one DVD that you ain't going to get. Amen. But I can tell you this here. You wish you would have had it. Amen. Hey, folks, Psalm 107. We're going to read verse number 1 and 2, and then we're going to go down to verse 23. Amen? Because you've got to remember where all of this is starting from. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth. For how long? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Now go all the way down to verse 23. They that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul, these are the sailors, their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. By the way, have you ever been at your wit's end? I mean, right there where there's nothing else you can do. And if you had one more step, the next step that you could take is the step to complete insanity. I mean, you have no idea what to do. And he said they are at their wits' end. And by the way, the people who are at their wits' end that he's talking about, these are experienced people. And the pressures have come to them. He said they're at their wits' end. What happened then? Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And he, again, continual action verb, he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be what? They be quiet. So he bringeth them into their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into wilderness and the water springs into dry ground. Now, we're going to probably go through some of those things. I should have stopped that verse before that, but you'll see where we're going. Amen. Father, we do love you and thank you today once again for your grace and mercy. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring for us. Lord, thank you for taking charge of us. Lord, thank you for the rain. Thank you for the floods. Thank you for the lightning we saw out there. Lord, thank you, Father, for it looked like we had a little bit of hail. Thank you, Father, for the troubles that we see. Thank you, Father, for the triumphs that you give. Thank you for it all, Lord. Father, you said when it's all said and done, if we're wise, we won't make accusation. If we're wise, we'll give thanksgiving and praise. Thank you for your loving kindness. Now take charge of us tonight. Once again, Lord, my plea is that you forgive me of sin. My plea is that you empty me of self. My plea is that you allow me to be your servant by filling me with your spirit. And I pray, Lord, that in all things, Lord, that I speak what you would have me to speak. Use me in whatsoever capacity you see fit. And I'll be careful to give you the glory, for we praise you and love you. In Jesus' name, for his sake, Lord, amen and amen. You may be seated tonight, folks. By the way, have you ever really ever been in the valley and know what it's like to be down there or be at your wit's end? I mentioned before that a lot of these things and all that you see here, things are getting progressively worse in a person's life. And God allows a lot of things to happen in our life that we may not agree with, but it doesn't change God's plan because he knows sometimes we need a storm. Amen? And by the way, storms are not all bad all the time. Sometimes they do a good service to the things of God. One of the first storms that happened, we think about what happened when Noah was around, and God caused that great flood to come and caused the sky to break down, and they had rain for the first time, and it was a massive thing that was going on there, and in which only 8 souls were saved. But God caused the storm. Amen? You turn around there, there's other places where God allows storm. When Jonah decided he didn't want to listen to God, and he decided he was going to go down away from God. By the way, can I tell you, when you stop listening to God's plan and God's program, and this is God's man, remember, he's the prophet. He stopped listening to God, he started going, and the first direction the Bible tells you he's going is down. He went down to Tarshish. Then he went down to the ship. Then he went to the sea. Then he went down into the ship. And he went down, down, down. And he's down there sleeping. And God causes a storm to come up in their life. And the fishermen, there's people around him who are reeling because of this storm. And they had cargo and they had things on the ship. And they began to cast the cargo out, trying to lighten the ship because they knew that they were in big trouble. And when they came over there, the only thing they could do after that was pray. And they didn't have anything else to do. They said to know to do. And here's Jonah, knowing why the storms are coming. They called him and said, why don't you wake up and pray to your God? He said, the reason why I'm not going to pray to God about this is because I'm the reason for the storms. I'm the reason for the storms. God is using the storms to get my attention, to get me to go where I don't want to go, to get me to do what I don't want to do. And he gave him a suggestion. He said, you want the storms to stop? Cast me overboard, and the storms will cease. And you know, that unregenerate crowd tried their best to save this rebellious prophet. And it got to the place where they couldn't handle it anymore that they finally chucked him overboard. Amen. And even in that disastrous situation, the Bible said God had prepared a great fish. And that's where we get our Navy from, the Submarine Corps, when he got swallowed by that great fish. And you know what he did? When he got swallowed by the great fish, he went further down. And it wasn't until he was in the whale's belly that he finally came to the place where he says, Lord, I'm sinning against you. And it's while he's down there in Whale Seminary, while he's down there learning the lessons that God would have for him. By the way, when they cast him overboard, the storm ceased. The storm ceased. Amen. When God got finished with him in the storm and Jonah finally came to the place where he realized that God was in charge, when he finally came to that place and surrendered to the will of God, you know what God did? God caused the whale to come up there and vomit Jonah up on the beach. Amen. And by the way, I want to give you something here. I used to say this. The place that he didn't want to go to Nineveh, God caused the whale to vomit him up on the shores of Nineveh. No, he didn't. I believe the place where Jonah was called in the first place before he started going down, when that whale vomited him up, he went back over there. Why? Because when the command was given again to Jonah, he said, now, the first command was to go up to Nineveh. You know what the second command was? Go up to Nineveh. He didn't deliver him to Nineveh. Jonah still had to make that journey. Because God's not going to move you forward until he gets you right. Amen? We had other storms. Remember the apostles in the New Testament. Man, they had those storms coming along there. The first storm they find the apostles with, Jesus was in the midst of the ship. And while Jesus was in the midst of the ship, he was down in the midst of the ship and he was sleeping. And he told him to go to the other side. By the way, I mentioned this to some folks last night in just fellowship. If God puts you in the ship and tells you to go to the other side, can I give you some encouragement? I don't care what's going to happen. I don't care the circumstances that's going to happen in between you getting there. You can be guaranteed that you're going to make it to the other side. Amen? If God says get in there and go to the other side, he'll take you to the other side. Well, the ship starts tossing to and fro in the storm. And the apostles, the disciples, they get upset and they're trying to do their best. And by the way, these are experienced fishermen, most of them. Peter, James, and John, they were part of fishing business. They knew how the sea reacts. They know how to recover out of certain things. And they're panicking. And they're crying down that the water's coming in the ship. They said, Lord, carest not thou that we perish. And Jesus steps up out of the ship. Commands the waves and the winds, peace, be still. And instead of them getting the hint, they look around and say, what manner of man is this that even the winds and waves obey? He told you what manner he was. Amen? But they didn't want to take God's power and principle seriously. It's hard to believe that. Another time after he finishes feeding the multitude, he took a few loaves and few fish and fed multitudes with it. He said, you disciples, I want y'all to get in the ship and I want you to go to the other side. Amen. While I dismiss the crowd. Now, this is the event or the encounter where Jesus starts walking on the water. Amen. Because Jesus didn't need a ship to get to the other side. Amen. And when he sent them to the other side, once again, a storm rose up. By the way, part of the storm rose up. It happened this way because it came up in the night. He sent them away in enough time and enough daylight to get to the other side. The implication is they tarried, and it said while they tarried. They tarried, and he allowed a storm to come up. And they're in the middle of the sea, in the middle of the storm, these same experienced fishermen, these same people, and they're toiling back and forth, and they're scared, and the Lord Jesus starts walking across there, walking across the water, and he's heading to the other side. And he knows they're there because nothing catches God off guard. He knows the storm is there, but the storm doesn't bother Jesus. Amen? And as he's walking, they think they see a spirit. And they scream out. They cry out because they see a spirit. And Jesus, in the wind and in the waves and in the noise and in the commotion and in their fear, speaks to them. And they hear him through the storm. And he says, be not afraid, it's I. Peter, in the midst of the storm, he has enough courage and conviction to say, if it be you, Lord, bid me come unto you on the waves. And Jesus said, come on. Amen. And of course, you know, Peter's walking on the water. Amen. And the waves aren't affecting him. He's walking on the water. And everything's all right walking on the water in the midst of the storm until he notices the winds and the waves. Once he notices, once he starts focusing on his situation again, amen, he begins to do something like sink. Now he's sinking. And here's one of the shortest, most effective prayers you'll find in the Word of God. It was a three-word prayer. Amen? Then they cried unto the Lord. His three-word prayer was, Lord, save me. And somehow, wherever Jesus was, in relationship to where Peter was, somehow Jesus covered the distance to get over to Peter without running, without saying, hold on, Peter, help is on the way. And he reached down there and picked Peter up. The storm was still going on, And the two of them walked back to the boat in the midst of the storm, because the storm never got calm until Jesus got back in the boat with them. Amen. When Peter started sinking, you know the only words that the Lord had for him? Wherefore did you doubt? Why did you doubt? Hey, folks, another storm rose up. And this is just to let you know, God's in charge of these storms. God's in charge of them. Another storm rose up. And this storm was so awesome, so powerful in the book of Acts, that God gave it a name. He called the storm Euroclodon. Amen. This storm happened because Paul was trying to give instructions to his captors that was taking him to Rome. They figured, we'll leave Fairhaven, the place of rest, and we could make it to this other port, which was a party town. They didn't want to spend the winter in Fairhaven when they could make it to Party Town and have a good time over there. And Peter said, you don't need to leave. I mean, Paul said, you don't need to leave this place. But they said, they listened to the captain. The captain is an experienced boatman and shipman. And he tells them, it's okay, we can make it. As they take off in the storm, y'all still with me? Amen. I'm just building a foundation here to let you know that God's in charge of these things. Amen. As they take off in the storm, everything seems good. And they think, man, the wind is blowing right, just right, and everything is good. And when that happens, all of a sudden, they get into the midst of a storm where the winds are coming contrary to one another and everything is happening and everything is going wrong in that ship. I mean, they're being tossed to and fro, left and right. They know that they're in trouble. And so the Bible said they cast out four anchors and wished for the day. And when that wasn't happening, when the wind was so contrary, they cut loose the sail and they let her sail herself. They just said, let's commit ourselves to the directions that the waves want to take us. And boy, they were sick and they were scared and they had given up all hope that they would survive. They couldn't see the stars because the sky was black. They never knew where they were and they had just given up hope. They were at their wits' end. In the midst of all of that, when they've lost everything, the cargo's gone, the anchors are gone. I mean, everything's going bad for them. Here comes a guy out of the hull of the ship in chains that says, you should have listened to me. And by the way, that's the last thing I need to do in the middle of a storm here. Somebody, I told you not to do that. Didn't I say not to do that? And by the way, I had to do some of those things this very day. I told you not to say that. I told you not to go there. And at that end, they're at their wits' end. And here's this prisoner in chains that I told you shouldn't have done that. You should have never left out of Fairhaven. Amen. But let me tell you, God says, every man on the ship is going to be spared. I'm going to save you all. And they can't see any hope. He said that there's going to be no loss of life, but the ship only. He couldn't see it. They couldn't see it. And he tells them, be of good cheer, because I believe God. Right, amen. Amen. You ever get in the midst of a storm and somebody tell you to cheer up? Amen. Things are going wrong. You're at your wit's end. I mean, you're being tossed to and fro like a staggering like a drunken man. And somebody say, it's all right. Amen. And by the way, the only people you can trust in a situation like that is those who are in that situation with you. Because it's easy to predict the weather from the TV set. Amen. It's hard to be out in the ship in the weather. A couple of years ago, my wife and I went on a cruise. She was always scared about going on a cruise anyway. But we finally went on a cruise. And folks, it was awesome. It really was. I mean, you get up in the morning, you can eat all day and all night. Amen. It is a Weight Watchers nightmare. Amen. All day and all night, as much as you want to. And you could walk around that ship. And every now and then, if you didn't want to walk around the ship, they would stop at these ports. And you could get off at the ports and walk around there. And my wife and I, we were content to walk around there, see a little bit. Say, okay, let's go back on the boat because I'm hungry. And we go back on the ship. We had absolutely no problem with it. And this went on for 8 days. And we were totally happy with the ship. One time it got just a little rocky, but it wasn't waves. They were undulating currents. See how sophisticated that sounds? Undulating. Amen. It was nice. And then I said, "Hey, honey, I was thinking about going on another cruise here just recently." And she said, "I don't know. I saw on the news where this ship was in the midst of the storm. And it said that thing looked like it was about to lay down on each side. So I don't want to go on another cruise." Amen. Now, and it didn't occur. We went on a perfectly good cruise. You just got to know when to go. You got to know when not to sail out of Fairhaven. Amen. I found this out. Hey, if you go on a cruise in the Western Caribbean, or the Eastern Caribbean, whatever, if you go on a cruise during the August to December time frame, that's when the hurricane season is over there. And guess what's going to happen in hurricane season? Anybody got any idea? That's right. That wind kicks up. It goes 100 miles an hour. It ship tosses to and fro. I'm not going on a cruise then. But if you go in January and February, the seas are calm. Amen? What does all that got to do with anything, preacher? We were talking about the things that God allows to happen to get our attention. And sometimes people look at storms and they try and find a reason for it. Amen. And they don't realize that the only reason why God is allowing a storm is to get their attention, to get them to the place where they are totally, absolutely out of control, so they can realize who is actually in control. I get tired of, and I mentioned about my son, I get tired of him trying to rationalize and reason things out. He's like that guy that we looked at last night. He's sick, he has issues, God delivers him, and he goes back into another issue, and God delivers him, and he's always, I mentioned something to him a few moments ago. I said, "Son, you're going to have to be the Tigger with the springy tail instead of the Eeyore with the lost tail." Amen. ER is always down, but Tigger, buddy, he's just bouncing around there, bouncy, 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 fun, 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 fun. He just lives on the edge of absolute excitement. But ER can't find any good in anything. His end result, all of this, and I lost my tail. Both of them, a tale of two tales. He's always going through these things, and he's not realizing, "Hey, son, God's got you going through things to get you to a place where you realize that you're not in charge of this." Amen? That you're not in control of this. When it's all said and done, God orders steps. God allows storms. God will go through you, through the storm with you. God can still calm the storm, but you will not need to realize. And by the way, the worst people who deal with storms, it seems like those who should know storms the best. These are the sailors. And these sailors, as the Bible talks about, let me give you some breakdown of these guys here. Amen. Here's one of their problems. Amen. Number one, when I deal with these sailors, I need to get back to where I need to be, amen. When I get down to these sailors, one of the first things I notice about these sailors is, amen, I'll get here, the situation of the sailor, look down at verse number 23. It says, they go down to do business to the sea in ships, to do that they do business in great waters. Now, number one, I realize they go down to the sea. This is where they do business. They're experienced with this here. They know how the water reacts and responds. Kind of like us Christians sometimes. We know what we should do. We know how faith works. How many of y'all know how faith works? Amen. You know that if I just put it in God's hands, God takes us through it. Amen. By the way, do you know the Bible says how you're supposed to live by faith? Because he said the just shall live by faith. Amen. But he says, here's how your faith operates. It doesn't operate on a global catch-all. He says he takes us, watch this here, from faith to faith. From faith to faith. Amen. From one challenge to the next. Each one may be progressively harder or progressively easier, but it is just to prove you and prop you up and empower you in the faith that he has implanted in you. From faith to faith. It's amazing sometimes when we go through a problem that we can never get out of and God brings us out of, when we come to another problem, we think it's worse than the last problem. But God says it's not. From faith to faith. But then I become my own worst enemy because I got this, God. I go down and do business in the sea all the time. I'm a sailor. Amen. My son-in-law is in the Navy. I always pick with him. I say, hey, son, could you help us out singing the Navy theme song? Amen. I pick with him. And, of course, the Navy theme song for the military version is Anchors Away. Amen. I pick with him. Sing the Navy theme song. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. And he absolutely wants to strangle his dad. Amen. And he laughs. He said, and by the way, he told me something. I said, son, are you going down on the boat? He said, Dad, the Navy doesn't have boats. We have ships. And then I had to reintroduce him to the Bible. Of course, you sure do have ships, according to Acts, where Euroclodon was. They were on the ship. But when the things got a little rough, they tried to jump ship and get in the boat. Amen. I said, so according to the word of God, you got ships and boats. Amen. And they're all part of your fleet. He tells me about the sea. Right now he's on a vacation with his wife, my daughter, and they're down to Baja Peninsula. And guess where he wanted to go? He wanted to go get a place that overlooks the sea. And he wanted to make sure he was facing the sea and he could see the sea. And it was like, son, get out of your mind. You're going to be on that water for months and months and months. Turn the ship around and look at the desert, dry land. The situation of the sailors, first of all, they don't go down to the sea. Second of all, they go in ships. This is where they do business. Amen. They do business in the ships. Amen. Sailors and ships go together. Third, they do, when they come down there in the ships, that's where they do the business. And it says in great waters. In great waters. Which means they know how the currents, they know how the tides go. They know what it's like to have to operate in the deeps. Amen. Do business in great waters. Amen. And fourth, they've seen a lot of things in these seas. Amen. The Bible says they that go down into the sea in ships that do business in great seas, these see the works of the Lord. Amen. They see how powerful the Lord is. They see how that water that can seem so tranquil at times can get so rough and rowdy. And that ship is tossed to and fro. I used to tell folks, that give them an illustration, that the ship is like, and the Bible says that sinners are like the angry seas. But the ship is a picture of the church. And the church can navigate these waters through these angry seas. But there's a caveat. If you leave the ship, you'll perish. Well, I got a little boat over here. God didn't tell you to get in the boat. He told you to get in the ship. There's a difference. Well, they both float on water, but one of them can't handle the deep waters. One of them can't handle the rough waters. One of them can't handle the rough waves. It can't handle it. So God never tells you to get into that which you could fail in. And the church could be shot, rocked back and forth and things like that. But as long as you stay in the ship, everything's all right. And so, folks, we got this challenge going on in this sea. the situation of the sailors, the storm for the sailors. The scripture text tells us about a storm that came upon the sailors in their ship. And it reminds of the sailor on the ship I talked about a picture like the ship that Jonah first sailed on. You see, first and foremost, the performance of the waves. It says they go, verse 26, they mount up to the, actually look at verse 25. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. Now he says, who commands it? Anybody know? Do the sailors command it? Do the sailors say, waves, rise up? Who commands the waves? He said, once these waves come, these stormy waves and this wind, he says, they mount up to heaven. I mean, these things are going on there, and the sailors are looking at these storm waves, and they're looking at this thing here, and they're thinking, we are going to get overwhelmed. It's going to just overwhelm us. By the way, you ever feel overwhelmed? Where everything is out of your control? Then he goes down a little further. And by the way, I say that because, again, God lets me go through these things at the same time I'm trying to help others go through the things to let you know you can get through the storm. Amen. I'm dealing with one that when I leave here, I'm going to be on the phone and I'm going to be talking to somebody and let them know, stay at the helm. Don't cast out the anchors yet. Stay in the ship. I know you're in the storm, but don't think that God didn't cause the storm. Well, you know, I shouldn't have steered the ship in this direction. You may be not, but you need to stay in the ship. It doesn't mean abandon ship. Amen. I've got to go through that. I don't know. Pastor Dawson asked you to pray. My friend is up there in New Jersey right now. And by the way, it's bad enough that she's up there with her mother who has just passed away. But today, a train got off track up there in Hoboken, New Jersey. And 100 people were injured. They don't know if it was a bomb. They don't know if it was maybe a terrorist. And it crashed down there. And you got a person dead. You got to go and fly in that area. And maybe, well, you can't catch a train now because they close them down for a little bit. But my friends are going to be flying up in that area. And so I'm worried about that. And then the church tells me, hey, we got these challenges going on over here. And then the school said, well, we're dealing with this here. And if you're not careful, it'll make you go, and then after all of that, your son calls and say, or your children call and say, Dad, we're going through this. And it's like, what more, oh Lord? And the Lord said, now go preach. Now go tell them and comfort them in the storm. Amen. And I had to tell my son, son, I know this looks really awful right now, but God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. And you know what he had the nerve to say? He said, yes, Dad. And then he totally... But, and that means that I'm going to ride this storm, and I'm not going to handle it well, because I'm going to try and find some reason. But Dad, you don't know what I've invested in those things. It doesn't matter what you invested in your fishing license. Amen. When God takes you through the storm, he wants to invest in you to get you to the place to realize he is in charge. Amen? He's in charge. And so the storm for the sailor, they're going through these things. It talks about the performance. He commandeth and raises the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. God did it. Not just the performance in the storm, the power of the waves. It says they mount up even to heaven. They go down again to the depth. You know, just looking at some of these things on TV, where the ship, one minute is going up in the air like that, next minute is diving down there. No wonder people get seasick. And as it's going down like that, it comes back out, and it may drift this way here, and you're out of control here. Then it comes back down there, and it goes this way here. And the Bible says that they're staggering to and fro like drunken men. I think I got a handle on it, and all of a sudden the wind shifts and I'm going over this way here and I can't see where I'm going. I don't know the conditions. I don't know if I'm going to make it. A few days ago, one of these famous 24-year-old baseball players was out on a ship, out on a boat in the Miami Harbor area, And somehow along the line, they was racing the boat at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And something went wrong. And next thing you know, that boat that they were in was flying through the air and came crashing down on some rocks and killed everybody on it. Killed everybody on it. They said, well, the person who was driving the boat had experience driving the boat. It doesn't matter about your experience. Because when God says it's time to go, it's time to go. When God says today, he doesn't mean tomorrow. Amen? And so as he's going through these things here, the power of the waves mounting up. Third, the peril of the waves. It says here in verse number 27, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. I just can't handle it anymore. Any of y'all ever been there? Where you just can't take one more thing, and that's when you come to the place. Watch what it says. When they came to their wits' end in that storm, the situation for the sailors, the storm for the sailors, then the supplication of the sailors. It says when they came to their wits' end, what? Then they cried. Folks, I am convinced that God is trying to do everything in his power to get some people to their wits' end, to the place where they just give up. I was listening to a testimony last night, and it was breaking my heart to the place where the person in the testimony said, Lord, I surrender all. At a wit's end, I don't know what else to do. I surrender all. And the only thing I can say is, now you can identify with the sailor. When I can't do anything about it, I cast out every anchor I had. I threw out every cargo I thought I had. I thought I had control of this thing. I'm an experienced shipman. I've been in the waters before. I've been in the rough waves before. I know how to pray my way out of stuff. And the only thing you can do is say, I surrender all. Then they cried unto the Lord. There's some of us, God's got us right there, and you still don't want to surrender. God's got us right to the place where he says, you are out of control here. I'm running the ship. I'm controlling the waves. I've got the wind in my control, because Jesus said at any time, peace be still, the waves calmed and the wind ceased. What did he need from them? Then they cried unto the Lord. Amen. Then they cried. And watch what happened. It says, when the supplication for the sailors said, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he, what's that word there? Bringeth, a continual action verb again. They know one thing, and I found out a long time ago, I started relying on the Lord. Each storm that I've ever been through, I realized he's always, as long as I surrendered this situation to him, he always brings me to the desired haven. He always gets me to where I need to be. He always makes a way. He always either calms the sea or calls the ship to go straight where it needs to be. I don't know how he does it. That's his business. I know this here. The only thing he needs from me is to say, Lord, I surrender. I, Paul said, believe what? God. I believe God. Some of us think we can handle it. Don't worry about anything. Just put on a life preserver. One of the things I was worried about when we went on a cruise ship, I don't know why I should have worried about it if I'm trusting God, but I made sure we were close to one of the lifeboats. I didn't want this Titanic thing to kick off, you know, and then not enough lifeboats. And somehow God gave us a lifeboat that was just under our balcony. To the place was, in my mind, I'm scheming, I'm in a lifeboat. I'm in a lifeboat. Just jump over the rail. Then once I get in there, I say, come on, honey. You know, I want to help you down here. But the biggest thing is, you know, because you got to put your mask on first because you have help, you know. But I had the lifeboat right there. They when you go on the cruise, they actually take you through a drill. And with the drill they take you through is they say, okay, when you hear these horns, when you see these things, I want you to come down here. I want y'all to assemble over the place, and I want you to go to where your lifeboat will be. And they told us, yeah, you would come down here, you go down there, you go down to the first level, you come over here. And I'm thinking, my lifeboat's right there. It's right there. I could touch it. I ain't going down them steps. I'm going over that rail because that's where the lifeboat is. Amen? Yeah, probably so. Go out there because it had a cover over it. I'll probably jump on it and trampoline me right into the sea. But if you're not careful, you'll start scheming. You'll start trying to figure out a way to get away from things, to circumvent the challenge that God has put before you. I got to find a way around it. I'm experienced. And God says, no. When you get to your wit's end, then you'll realize I'm in charge. And once he came to that place, I want you to see this supplication. They cried out. And I want you to see what the Lord does. Amen? Because this is awesome. The salvation of the sailors. He said they reeled to and fro. Then they cried unto the Lord. And look at verse number. It says he bringeth them, the continual action verb, out of their distresses. You know what that means? He calmed the waters. He took them to a place where the storm was not as bad. When we were coming up here, we saw lightning shoot out the sky. And Sister Betty said, is that lightning? I said, it sure is. And it's been going on quite a bit over there. It's just been dancing in the skies. You know, some people get hit by lightning. Amen? You ever notice that you're not one of those people who got hit by lightning? When we came up here, it was just drizzling. All of a sudden, the rain started coming down. And my wife, she had just did her hair. She just curled her hair. She just made her hair pretty. It was fluffy. It was curly. It was, you know. She said, how does my hair look? And it's my job to respond. Amen. And I said, it looks full. It looks flowing. You know, you alliterated. You know, it looks full. And finally, when she got that confirmation, it was good. And then all of a sudden, after all of that, we come over here, and it's raining. Hey, ladies, when you finally do your hair, is rain your friend? Absolutely not. Amen? And it's coming down hard. And we're sitting in the car. We was here since like 10 minutes to 4. Okay, that's I'm not over here, so that's an exaggeration. But we stayed in the car finally, and the rain wasn't letting up. And finally I said, let's just go around the back, and I'll get you closer to the door. You can get out there. And lo and behold, when I got around the back to let her out, there was a young man standing there. It's okay, you're not in trouble. He looked at it. It must have been him. It was you. He was back there. That's what I said. It wasn't G2. It was brother. Yeah, he was over there, and Faith was there, and they were waiting at the door. And Sister Betty looked at the window, looked at the kids who was behind the door, and she says, you have an umbrella. Like they could hear. Amen. And finally, and we were at the kitchen door, which is not the right door to go in anyway. They went on over there. They moved around a little bit. And next thing you know, they came to the other door and had an umbrella for them. And who knew that this rain event would cause him to be a gentleman and open up the door and come out there and escort my wife in. And he did a fine job of it. Then he came back out, bless his heart, to escort me in. But I'm a man. And rain doesn't bother me. Some will go around park in the front. And I'm going to step in a puddle of water. Because I don't need no little guy to help me. I'll just walk around with a soggy feet. Because I'm in charge. And the only thing I could think of was, why don't you just stay around there? Why don't you just use his umbrella? And I realized all the water that was around there was flowing up front. And I tried to walk around a little bit, and then as I walked in and went in there, and I found out it was deep over there. It's like, it's a swimming pool. I mean, you need a snorkel to get around in there. All of these things happen. God lets us know I'm in charge of the weather. Amen. I don't care what the weatherman predicts. Pastor Dawson said we're going through the last of a monsoon season. How do you have a monsoon in the desert? Our dear sister who was sitting over here a moment ago, whose children are not feeling well, and her husband was, he's not here right now. She was sitting over there. Her husband said, I love the rain. I love it when it comes down. I love it when it falls on my face. I just love the rain. And I thought, you can have it. He says this. He said, he maketh a storm. Actually, he said they cried. He delivers them out of their distresses. And again, he bringeth them out, because we'll always find something to be distressed about. Even if it's not our fault that the storm is there. I'm not even in the storm. It's everybody else who's in the storm, and because I'm in the ship, I'm reeling to and fro too. By the way, you ever have problems in your church, and they're not your problems, but they affect you? That's because you're in the ship, and God has you in the ship, and he's not trying to get you to abandon the ship. He's trying to get you to trust in his leadership, his lordship in the midst of the ship. Watch what happens. Verse number 29. He maketh the storm, what? A calm. So that the waves thereof are what? Still. Then are they what? Woo! God is good. And now we can sing again because the ship is steady. The sea is calm. And I can move around here. And everything's all right. My experience, now my faith is now strong and buoyed up. It wasn't a minute ago when you were at your wit's end. Why are they glad? Because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their what? Desired haven. I already told you, when I fly, when I go to any place, my prayer is not to take me to a desire. I want you to take me to the place that I'm going, Lord. If I'm going to Arizona, I'm going to pray to go to Arizona. You know why? Because I don't know what he has in store for you. Amen. I don't know what he has in store for you. But I want to make sure that I'm not going to be caught up in your punishment. I don't want to do it. Hey, Lord, if you want them, you got them. I could be in the boat with Jonah. Chuck me overboard. Oh, okay. Not a problem. You're out of here. If it means the ship is going to be saved, if it means that the sea is going to be calm, if it means the waves are going to be steady, if it means they're going to take me to the desired destination, the desired end, then, Lord, I will do whatever you command me to do, but let me get where you have for me instead of suffering for what you have for them. And so watch what he does. When he goes to the, he said he brings them to their desired haven. And what should we do? Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. He said after that, he said, let them what? Exalt him. You know what that means? That means let's lift up the Lord for a change. You are God Almighty. You are in charge of the storms. You are in charge of my life. My heart is in your hand. You are God Almighty. Let's lift him up. And by the way, if you do that, God said, the Lord said, if I be lifted up, what? I'll draw all men unto myself. He said, let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and do what? And praise him in the assembly of the elders. Now watch how I lift him up. Watch this here. Anybody got a word of testimony here tonight to tell how good God is? Amen? You ever asked that, pastor, and nobody has a testimony?
Yes, sir.
How can that be? How can it possibly be that nobody has a testimony? Was not God good today?
Right.
Did you take for granted that he woke you up, or did you think it was your clock or your phone? Did you take for granted that he fed you today? Did you take for granted that he clothed you today? I listened to a conversation a little bit ago where the person said, I won't be able to take care of my family. I won't be able to meet them. And I asked the question, do you have a house and a roof over your head? Yes. Do you have clothes on your back? Yes. Do you have food in the house? Yes. Do you have gas in the car? Yes. What are you missing that you can't praise God for?
Right.
Amen. Does anybody have a word of testimony? And if nothing else, I just want to praise the Lord, for he is good. Now, folks, I wanted to get you through those guys there, and I'm just going to give you these other two. My dear sister said something the other night. She said, Pastor, I wish we had more time. I got more notes that I have to fill out. And I'm thinking, I got more notes to give you. I just don't have enough time to make it happen. But the Lord's still on the throne. Amen? Let me give you these two things real quick that deals with verses 33 through 42. Now, y'all remember the two things we dealt with so far. The praising for salvation. Number two, the portraits of salvation. Let me give you number three here, the principles of salvation. Look at verse number 33. When I deal with these principles of salvation, I have to realize this. Number one, I gave you four opportunities to get right with God. I gave you four situations that got, in certain cases, progressively worse. But then verse number 33 says this. Let me tell you something. He turneth rivers into a wilderness and a water spring into what? Now, he says, you don't think God's in control? He could take I got my job, I got my family, I got my children, I got all these things. You could use those things as an excuse all you want to. And God can dry your river up. God can take all those things away from you. You don't play with God. You don't procrastinate with God. Those folks who said, I don't believe in that. I don't believe in hell. I don't believe in heaven. It's okay. Pretty soon you will be. He said, I can, water springs into dry ground. He said, watch what he said in verse number 34. He said, a fruitful land into what? You once would seem like you were blessed beyond all measures. Everything was going outstanding. All of a sudden, it's a barren wasteland. You can't figure out what's happening. Why is he doing that? For the wickedness of them that what? That dwell in verse number 34. For the wickedness of them that dwell therein. If that's the way you want to live, let me show the consequences of it. Amen? Go down here a little further. If I get this thing right, he said he turneth the wilderness into what? Standing water. And dry ground into what? You know what that tells me? Just like he can take away the blessings, when you cry unto the Lord, he can restore them. Amen? He can restore them. You might think God's abandoned you because you're going through the problem. He said, no. When you get right, I can restore all of these things because I still know where the water is. And I still know where the deserts are that I let happen in your life. Look down here a little further, and we gotta come to an end. The Bible said, and there he maketh the hungry, what? To dwell. Now, that's what he said with the first picture, right? The first person, they were hungry, they were thirsty, they were looking for a habitation. He said, once I turn this thing around and turn that wilderness into a wellspring, that dry desert into a wonderful habitation, he said, that's where the hungry can dwell, that they may prepare a city. What? They don't have to wander around anymore. No more. Look at the next one. He said, and sow the fields and plant vineyards, which they yield fruit to what? Increase. He blesseth, and I love that continual action. He blesseth them also so that they are multiplied greatly and suffereth, continual action, suffereth not their cattle to decrease. It's an amazing thing when you're right with God. Problems happen and everything seems like they're going wrong. But when you check, you realize you haven't lost anything. As a matter of fact, things got better. And you don't even understand how it could happen. And people say, how did that happen, preacher? God did it. God did it. I can give you, I will read down here just a little bit more. And then I want to give you something here and we'll close. The Bible said he blesses them also so that they are multiplied. Look at verse number 39. Again, they are diminished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. Amen. He poureth contempt upon princes. In other words, he said, look, I can do this, but I can also do this. You want to be brought low? Fine. You think that because you're in a status, you're a prince or something like that? He said, I bring princes low. Amen. I'm in charge of this thing. They're not in charge of me. Oppression, affliction, and sorrows. He pours contempt upon princes and causes them to wander in the what? Wilderness, where there is no way. He causes them to do that. I like that when God turns the tables on my enemy. They think they got me, and God got them. They thought that they had Paul as a prisoner, and Paul was the one who wound up rescuing them. How can you get that way, Paul? How can things happen? Because God knows how to turn the table. One minute they looked at Paul when he got out the water. He got over, they got some sticks, a snake bit him. And they thought, yeah, there you go. He got what he deserves. He's going to die now. And when they saw he shook off the snake into the fire, they said, oh, my soul, we're dealing with a God. They didn't realize you are dealing with God. A little further, he said, yet sitteth the poor on high from affliction and maketh him families, what? Like a flock. The righteous shall see it and do what? Rejoice. And all iniquity, and all iniquity. Remember what the fool's problem was? His transgressions and his iniquities. He said, watch this, when I get right, he said, then all, and all iniquity shall stop, what? Her mouth. And at last, when I was telling you about the pondering of salvation, whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand what? The loving kindness of the Lord. If you get a little wisdom, you'll see God's in charge of this thing, and God's just trying to get you back into the place of fellowship where you're the one who he's blessing. Amen? Where shining light is being blessed. Where the ship is now calm, going through smooth waters. Well, you know, God has brought everybody in here, and God knows how to keep everybody where they need to be. You know something, folks? I was going to mention something. I'm glad God took part of it out of my mind about how God does some things and allows things to happen. I still remember each time how God brought me through a certain situation, and each time where it was all, when it was all said and done, the only thing I could say is, boy, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I was coming here tonight. My wife is not as cerebral as I am about things. What I mean by that is sometimes she lets them get to her. And she begins to look for causes and effects. Honey, what are we doing wrong? And I have to say, we ain't doing nothing wrong. What's wrong, and how come these things aren't happening? Why are these happening, these things here? And I always have to remind her some of the same things. It's God who's in control. I would love to make everything right. I even stayed at the Holiday Inn Express several times, trying to get the secret. But when it's all said and done, God says, I'm in charge. I'm in charge. And so I'm driving down the road, and I'm trying to be cerebral, and I'm trying to be things like that, because I know if I get out of control, then who's going to take care of her? Who's going to calm her soul? If I'm upset on the ship, who does she have to lean on? Now, she doesn't need me. She knows she has God. Boy, she used to threaten me. She used to say, honey, if you're not right, she says, I'm going to tell God on you. I'm just going to take you to God. And I actually have to get back. Why do we got to go there? You know? And there's sometimes where I want to say, go ahead and tell God. Because if he doesn't know right now, and if he's not in charge of this here, then we do need to get it straight. Amen? Revival is all about getting to that place where we're wise enough to realize that no matter what we're going through, God's still on the throne. God's allowing things to happen to the sojourner to get him in his place. Trying to get the person who is a slave to his passions and his desires, get them to be released. Trying to get the sick person to take the medication. Try to get the sailor to trust God in the storms. To try to get you and I to realize, I'm in charge. Trust in me, and I'll bless you beyond your wildest desires. Letting God have his way. Let's stand to our feet tonight, folks. It all started the way it ended. It started in the Psalm 107 that says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." It ends with that same type of thing. "Whoso is wise and observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord." With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, just for a moment. I don't know what God's bringing us through. I don't know what God wants from you and I. I do know this, though. He gave four pictures of some things and portraits of some things of lives that he challenged, and he let each one of us know, I'm here to make things and put things in order. Why? Because he loves us. His loving kindness is there. And if I'm wise, I'll see it. If I'm wise, I'll respond to it. If I'm wise, I'll get a hold of God. If I'm wise. And if I'm not, I'll have to go through challenge after situation, after wandering, after sickness, after storm, and get out of place. I always say here tonight, preacher, and I've asked this every night, preacher, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. If I was to die or Christ was to come back, I know I'm going to be with him in heaven. You got that testimony. Why don't you slip your hand up, slip it up in testimony to the Lord. I know I'm saved. I know it. It is awesome seeing one of the youngest hands hold his hand the highest. I know I'm saved. Amen. Hands going up all over the place. You may put them down. I would be honest and say, preacher, I know what it's like to go through the storms. I know what it's like to go be tossed to and fro in the waves. And I know what it's like to get to my wit's end. But I also know what it's like to be delivered and to get to safe haven where the Lord can give me peace. I know those things. And I just want to thank the Lord for that. How many of y'all like that? Know what it's like to go through the storms? Amen. Hands going up. Hey, folks, can I invite you to do something? We got an old-fashioned place up here where my offerings and my sacrifices and my thanksgivings and my by the way, you talked about these folks in the congregation of the people. They didn't mind who saw it. If God's been good to you, when the piano player starts playing, why don't you just make your way out to an old-fashioned altar and say, look, Lord, you brought me through so many places. You brought me through so many problems. You've shown your power in so many ways. I have no choice in my soul but to praise you for it. Lord, I know from here on, I know things aren't going to be all rosy and all that, but I know revival is not about the rosiness of it. It's of the righteousness of it. And I can do great things for God. As the piano player begins to play, let God move you just for a moment. Lord, I want to thank you for bringing me through the storms. I want to thank you for putting me in that solitary place. I want to thank you, Lord, even though I was been tossed to and fro time and time again. Lord, you've always been there. When I cried out to you, Lord, do something, when my prayer was sincere, when my prayer was earnest, you answered. Answered. You made a way when it didn't seem like there was any way. You took charge, Lord, when I was about to give up. Folks, I gotta go back and talk to people and say, look, you need to trust God in these situations. They say, you don't understand, preacher. The storms are here. I understand. And God understands. But his desire is to bring you through the storms. His desire is to bring you through the situations of wandering, the sojourning. His desire is to bring you through the sickness. His desire is to bring you through the slavery. His desire is to deliver you. But you and I need to trust in him. As we turn these things over to the pastor, please let God have his way. Listen to the song, "All to Jesus I Surrender, All to Him I Freely Give." Give it to him.